What a beautiful church, and hi, beloved. My name is Linda Noble, and I'm Jim Noble's wife. We've been attending the chapel here for the past 20 years of our 36-year marriage, and we had the blessing of raising 7 excellent human beings, some of them there. And they're here. They're here to see if their mom smoked marijuana. Since March, I've been waking up in the middle of the night and all different times during the day and just receiving downloads from the Lord. The first one that I got, I wrote down, and it was called Make My Life a Prayer to You. And I showed it to my husband, and he said, Linda, this sounds like a song. So I thought, can I go to the Lord and ask him for the tune? And I did, and I got it.
Come on.
And he's just a God that just answers. So part of my testimony of coming to faith in Jesus Christ is going to include some songs. And we had some wonderful ones already. So I'm going to start with this prayer. Make my life a prayer to you. Write your will upon my heart. Knowledge of your holy will leaves behind my sin and pride. I am invited to abide a time in space, a space in time. Time surrendered, a time to behold love. Sits in heaven. Oh, the joy of heaven. His joy complete, our longing fulfilled as we bow at his feet. Oh, the joy of heaven. Scripture that was the first thing that I actually pulled out, it was a piece of paper that had gone through the laundry back in, about 1981. I don't know how it got there. I was pulling laundry out of the dryer, and a piece of paper came out of a pair of pants, and it was when I was facing a very dark time in my life. I don't know how it got there, but I kept it in my pocket for a month. And it was the month where my marriage was coming to an end, my 10-year marriage. And the scripture is from Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And that was news to me, because I had always leaned under my understanding. So I'm going to start from my beginning, which was 74 years ago, born in Tokyo, Japan. My dad was worked in the Foreign Service with the State Department and had a 30-year career there. And we were always back and forth to America for see the grandparents and then back to Japan for 3 years, back and forth Tokyo and then Kobe, Japan. My dad was very patriotic. He loved America. He was a man of integrity, and I would always hear him say, like, well, it's the principle of the thing. It's the principle of the thing. He was God-fearing in that I could also hear him say, well, there'll be hell to pay. And so I grew up with a very, you know, righteous, like, a lot about morals. He even said, you know, that as far as different Ten Commandments being broken, that the worst thing was being a liar. My mom was, she was a caregiver, took care of us very well, and my dad, and was sensitive and kind. And her main thing was God is love. And we really didn't go very much to church. We went on Christmas, Easter, and Christmas and Easter again. And I think we were dropped off for Sunday school a few times. And but a lot of my exposure to religion was actually touring around Japan and visiting a lot of temples, the Japanese temples, and you know, Buddhists and Shinto and all this stuff. And my schooling was in a Canadian academy. It was run by Canadian brothers and a missionary school, and also international school, and 3 years at the American bases when we lived on base. I have strong memories of Japan, one being walking to the train for school and past bombed out buildings. And just like shells of, you know, people's homes, you know, that used to be nice. We would just go in and explore and that. And then back and forth to America. And when we were in America for those years, it was weird, because at the same time we were watching our neighbors in McLean, Virginia install bomb shelters. It was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And we were also there when our president, President Kennedy, was assassinated. So total, we lived 5 years in America, and the rest 13 years, like I said, back and forth was in Japan. And my takeaway from Japan pretty much was they were very respectful people. We always felt very safe. And they loved their children, and we're very respectful to old people. My parents, one of the times we were back in the States, an aunt found out we hadn't been baptized, so we went and got baptized, and then we got confirmed. And the only thing I remember about that is when we got confirmed, I wanted a white Bible with a zipper on it, and I still have it. And it was to press flowers in. Anyway, back to something that happened in school to me when I was at the International School of Sacred Heart. It was a very cloistered school, and I didn't really, anyway. So one of the things that affected me was we were coming out of the lunchroom, and of course everything's very orderly in lines and everything, and a nun pulled me aside, so I had to stand there next to her the whole time. The rest of the school went past looking at me, and I'm thinking, like, what did I do? What did I do? I did get caught chewing gum once, but that. And after they had left, she turned to me and she pointed to my head and she said, "What is that?" And I went like this and I said, "Oh, it's a beret." And she said, "Take that out. Is that your answer to God?" And I think that really affected me. So anyway, came back from my senior year in America, and it was quite a culture shock. We never saw men with long hair. We landed in San Francisco, our boat. We got our car to drive across country. My dad always saying, oh, America is the greatest country in the world. That year, Dad had to leave to go to a tour in Vietnam, which was a scary thing. And I left for college to University of Miami. It was 1969, and it was a very different culture from what I had experienced. I was kind of in a bubble, I guess, in Japan. Anyway, but it was all about rebellion, anti-establishment, the war going on, peace, vigils. And I had my dad over there. The sexual revolution, the biggest, my first year in the dorm wasn't about people, girls talking about history tests or math tests or whatever. It was who was going to lose their virginity next. Women's rights, and there were different philosophies introduced, you know, a lot of the Chinese Lao Tzu and Siddhartha, and, you know, reading all different things like that. Age of Aquarius. So basically my rebellion after one semester of college, when we went back to my house in McLean, I was bold enough to show my reaction to the establishment by not wearing a bra when I returned home for Christmas. Anyway, I studied hard and didn't skip classes out of respect for my parents' sacrifice for sending me to college. Then Christmas, the next year, my dad got to come home for a month leave from Vietnam, and I got a ride from my boyfriend from college. And that Christmas Eve, tragedy struck our family. My brother, who was 18, just 1 year younger than myself, died. He was struck by a car. He was walking across a 30-mile-an-hour zone with his present for his girlfriend when a car going 90 struck him, and he died. It was a drunk driver, another kid, another 18-year-old. So that was very hard. It was waking up, hearing my parents cry. So, I'm sorry. But anyway, at that time, you know, I believed there was a God, but I figured I'd get to know him when I got to heaven. And, but I did, you know, philosophize. I just adopted a philosophy that my brother was in a better place and I would see him again. And then also it was important to show people you care about them while they're here, because you never know. So it was in this period of life for me that I met my former husband-to-be. We were constant companions and married while finishing college. We were blessed. During the 10 years of our marriage, we had a business, a home, and two wonderful children, and parents who loved us. During those years, people would come across my path and talk about Jesus, like God told them this and God told them that, and I was like, you know, well, God's going to have to talk to me himself. And it seemed that religion and nationalism just created all the wars. And so 10 years into our marriage, my former husband announced he didn't believe we were right for each other anymore. I thought we could go to counseling. I thought he was having a nervous breakdown because of some things that had gone on with the business. And then I found out that he had met another woman. I was devastated, and it hit me that you can't control someone else's heart. And I know this because 7 years into our 10-year marriage, I fell and had what I would call an affair of the heart with a very close friend of ours. It was like his best friend. It was a short affair, but it affected my brain and heart for a year. And I struggled, but then I got through it. He got through it, and I kept it a secret. I couldn't tell my husband. But why should I? Because, you know, he was off there. So, but it was then, with that happening to me, that night was my dark night of the soul. So I was actually just in agony, just in pain, just physically in the fetal position, crying in my bed. And really all I knew was the Lord's Prayer. And so I started saying it, repeating it over and over again. And I said, you know, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I kept saying it over and over again. And then thinking back to the secret that I'd been holding for 3 years, I said, "I know what I did. I know what I did." And then all of a sudden, I had this vision, an open vision, I guess that's what you would call it. I saw myself that, you know, had been crying, and I saw my house, my heart broken, and it was like bleeding, you know, it was like bleeding this love towards my husband, and he was rejecting it. And I felt then I was taken up, and I saw the whole world. I saw the globe. I felt a presence next to me. I saw the whole world, but you could actually see people on it. And it was like you could almost like look in the windows of the houses, and people were like eating and drinking, but they were also arguing and fighting, and all, you know, life was going on. And people were walking on the street, and they were busy. And with this presence here, I felt there was this love coming to the world, but the people were rejecting it. And then there was this other sense, a bigger sense, and I knew it was God behind me. And I heard, "For God so loved the world." And it became like this waterfall of love from the Father to this presence next to me, down to the world, down to Linda Noble, Linda Stites. And I was sort of afraid, but I decided to go ahead and look to my right, and because I knew, you know, the beacon in my heart knew that it was Jesus on the cross. And I turned and looked like that, and I didn't see his face, but I saw his eyes. And his eyes said, "Now do you understand?" And in that moment, his grace, his forgiveness, his love, not just for me, but for the world, what he did, just flooded my soul. And I received it, and also to forgive myself So that was the next day. I believed. I woke up believing that Jesus, I finally knew the truth. I saw the truth in here. And my life before was like TV, watching it in black and white. And then you're still watching TV and the same thing, but it's in color. So that was kind of like the initial sense that I had. So, we're ready for that salvation song. Okay. Yeah. So this is a song that I got in September. No man comes to me lest I draw him. Each man comes to me alone. My son came for those who were dying. I chose them, they did not choose me. Salvation comes to those who are crying. Hearts are changed to live eternally. Time stands still at the foot of the cross. The blood of redemption was shed. Stands before him to walk up, to eat its fruit is to live eternally. To walk away means time will end one day. Today is the day to receive salvation. The choice was made for me to give. Today is the day to receive salvation. Today is the day to receive salvation. Now the choice you make is for you to take. Thank you, Angela. So, right after the next night, I said, I need a Bible. I want to find out about God. And so I knew I still had this up in the cupboard somewhere. So I went it and got it and unzipped it. And I didn't know, I just opened it. I just went like this. And yes, some four-leaf clovers fell out. I opened it and I just went like this. And it was 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Which I know a lot of y'all know is, you know, the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind. And I read it, and I went like this. Oops. This is the truth. This is the whole truth. So the people that the Lord had brought into my life, who I mocked, about Jesus in the previous 3 years and stuff, and gave him a hard time, they were there for me, the Christians. And I was in, you know, right away, it was like just someone invited me to church and then a Bible study and all this stuff. Went on a retreat that really outlined things. It was called a Crescio. It was about a series of 15 talks and everything. So the years since have been spent growing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord and studying the Bible with the witness of the Holy Spirit as my teacher, because I'm like, I knew I was saved, I knew I was forgiven, I knew I was going to heaven, I knew I was going to meet God for real, but there was this force, there was this love, just and wanting to get to know God. And when I would read the Bible, it was like there'd be like a highlighter, just highlighting certain things that would just jump out at me, and I was feeding my soul. That had, was pretty bankrupt, at, you know, had been. So, so then about a year after what I read in the Bible in John about, you know, the wind blows here and there and you don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going next, but I was born again. That's what I call it for me. I know we're in a non-denominational church, and so my word for non-denominational is potluck. And we all are, you know, have come from all different faith backgrounds, but I think we can agree in Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross. So about a year after, I went to a follow-up of this retreat, and there were a couple of girls there being really joyful and everything, and I said, what are you so happy about? And they said, oh, well, I just prayed for her, and she just got her prayer language. And I said, well, prayer language, I mean, I was praying, you know, trying to pray all the time. And I go, what do you mean, prayer language? And so they explained it to me, and showed me in the Bible, and in Acts how God had promised his believers to wait to receive power from on high. And of course they probably didn't know what to expect. And but then, you know, the story in Acts about the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that enabled them to be more bold to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And so they said, do you want it? And I said, I want anything God has. And so they prayed for me, and I heard some strange languages coming out. And I looked at them, and they said, don't look at us, just, you know, this is something you receive in faith from God, it's not from us. And so I was, okay, well, nothing happened. I went home that night, it was about 10 o'clock, and I thought, okay, well, I'm just still going to keep waiting. So I got on my knees, and I did this, because I thought I had to be really holy. And I waited. And I, you know, and I asked God to give me this baptism, and it got to be about noon, 12 midnight, and I started yawning, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I guess you want me to go to bed now, so I'm going to go to bed, but I still want it." So I went to bed. I was woken up at 3 a.m. by a language that I never knew coming, sounded ancient, coming out of my mouth. I laid there, and the love, before I knew he loved me, but this is now, it was like this kind of infilling of love for others that I don't even know. And so I laid there, and it just kept going and going, and I tested it. I thought, can I stop, and will it keep come back? I mean, it was a total supernatural, because God is supernatural. And when I asked him about sharing my experience about this, because I know there's different, he said, my grace and my gifts are not debatable, so just go for it. So this is, I'm just giving you what happened to me. Anyway, so I got up and walked around and it just was praying. It was like praying further than what my mind could think of to pray for. And then since then, it, you know, it's something that he gives. If he gives us, he says he has it and he wants to give us, and the gifts, it's because we need it. So, Lord, let us be even more needy that we might receive. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I have a song about... So this was actually... Let me read. I'm going to read this one thing. June 7th. It was before June 8th, which was Pentecost Sunday. This is something I was writing to him, and then I got it back from him. I've been getting these downloads, so I write it. Okay. Time stands still as faith becomes the moment. Knowledge of your word becomes truth in our heart. When you are speaking, our souls surrendering only to your will. No distraction, man's infraction. A temporary attraction will disrupt my soul. Your spirit is calling, and my heart is responding, for your spirit is teaching me to listen, that as you are speaking, I will hear your voice. Let me be found in your presence, waiting on your rest. And then this is what kept coming. Thou be still as my heart is translated to open the understanding of my will. And that was God saying that. To obey at all costs was done by the blood of my son. His obedience gave you his life. The faith that is in you is in the faith of my son. My spirit moves within you to make my heart be known. And then the next day, in the morning, I got this song. You have given us faith to believe that we may then believe in faith. The Father, through his Son, gave his Spirit, poured upon to receive. As we look for, wait for, pray for, your spirit is waiting for hearts to believe. Never wondering, but boldly proclaiming, Jesus Christ, he is Lord indeed. Thank you, Angela. He led me to Angela. He led me to Bud. I said, what with these songs? I don't know how to play an instrument. And he has provided beautiful, talented people, and Matt, and anybody else that plays an instrument, if you want a song.
A kazoo.
Amen. So I'm going to finish with a song. I do want to say this one. The first Bible study I took after I had the vision of Jesus saving me, I was lost, found, and I was led to a Bible study, and it was Hebrews, and it was all about faith. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was the scripture in Hebrews 3:7, where he was warning or saying, like, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And I like prayed, like, God, I don't want a hard heart. And so especially with the world situation now and where we are, a lot of us, we're a lot older. Our time is getting shorter here, but we have our babies and our young children. And what about them? God can reach anybody he wants. He's a supernatural God. We didn't invent him. He created us. We are his vessels, yielded. He's a holy God. And he has a wonderful, wonderful consummation in store for us. And this is a song, a happy song, that's now and coming. It's called My Heart Dancing with Thee. My foot skips a step, Lord, when my heart beats with Thee. To dance in the Spirit is a chance to be free. In rhythm together, aligned perfectly, our steps coincide in true liberty. In facing or tracing our match made above, our worship together reflects his great love. Words whispered in secret are now clearly known. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. The groom he beholds, his bride, his begotten, eternity's future, where time is forgotten. For earth's communion has become heaven's union, and the Father presides the altar, his throne, with the Son at his side, and the bride he has won. Drink from the cup that now makes us one. The call of the bridegroom, the song of the bride, we'll soon meet together, expressing our love. Showers of joy from heaven above make music together, heard in our land. Words whispered in secret are now fully known. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine.
Stand, please. You been in church today?
Amen.
That's the church in action. Church is not what is up here or even behind that pulpit. Church is you.
Amen.
The body of Christ. Hallelujah. Pray that God has spoken to you today. And as you hear the stories, we all have a story. We all are going through things in our life. Don't miss it. For the Lord calls us, and he's ministered today. Thank you so much for everyone. And again, this is a celebration of the gifts of God, amen, that he gives to the body of Christ to encourage one another. Praise his name, amen.
Amen.
Reminder that we do have the annual report and new rosters up here. It's important that you members and attenders to take that and digest it and review it for next Sunday, okay? For the meeting, so we encourage you to do that. Amen. Been blessed today in many ways. Have some international students. We got Denmark and Germany and Austria represented here. And so as we'll do after the benediction, we'll sing God Bless America. And America is comprised of all of those folks, right? Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, may the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And amen. Let us sing.